Okay, so it is 7 p.m. I'm going to ask that for the first 15 minutes, since our first appointment's at 15 minutes, if everyone could make sure they're muted so the select board can do just a few housekeeping items that we have. I'm going to call to order at exactly 7 p.m. the November 2nd, 2021 virtual meeting of the Town of Heath Select Board. First item is identification of callers. I will call the towns folks that are here, select board, and then I know that we have the Hilltown board that will be coming on at 7:15, and they'll all be introducing themselves at that point, so they can hang tight and do that at 7. We don't need to do that as a repeat. So myself, Robin.
Yeah. Robin, if one of my, if any of our people have something they need to do or a text they need to respond to, they have, it sounds like they have about 10 or 15 minutes to do that before you're going to get into our agenda.
Yeah, our appointment okay. time is 7:15. Exactly. Okay. Yep.
Sounds
yep.
good.
So, okay. So myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I'm here. We have other select board members, Brian DeVries.
Here.
And Sue Lively.
Here.
Town Coordinator Hilma Sumner. Hi.
Yeah.
And I should say, sorry, the meeting is being recorded. FYI for everybody. Okay, so I'm going to try to catch everyone. We have Police Chief John McDonough, who's here. I see him.
Yes.
And Pat McGann.
Here and recording.
We have Larry Sampson.
Hello, we're here. I just have my video off now because of power issues, but
that's yeah. fine. Barbara Gordon.
Here.
Let's see. Oh, Ned. Ned, you're here. Ned Wolf.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Ned. Pam.
Yep, I'm here.
Pam Porter. There's a lot of people popping up.
Tom Mason. Mason is a
oh yeah, yep, okay, yep. My screen, I'm not seeing everybody, so bear with me. I'm trying to flip through a little bit. Who else am I missing that is not coming on at 7:15? Do you see anybody else, Hilma?
I do not see
okay.
anyone else.
Great, thank you. Welcome everyone. Next item is a review of the agenda. This is a limited agenda tonight for the purposes of a couple of appointments and a couple of executive sessions. There are two little items that have come up for the select board that I'm going to ask that we take care of now or at least discuss briefly. And those are additions to the agenda. One of them is an upcoming meeting, which is tomorrow, from the Mohawk Trail Regional School District bond maturity meeting for the debt service projections for the capital projects that were voted in. And the other is there was one more outstanding broadband construction invoice that we just need to approve so that can be paid as well. And that was already reviewed by the Municipal Light Board and approved by both that the board and the manager. So those are my additions. Sue, anything else for the agenda?
No.
Brian?
I have nothing.
Robin?
Oh, sorry.
My hours for next week, my time for next week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
And Robin, can you repeat that announcement since a slew of people for our part of the agenda came on just that at 7:15 is when we're starting that. So, and you're going to ask them to introduce themselves then.
Yep, just like Jonathan said, 7:15 is the start, and we'll do introductions at that time.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah, thanks everyone for coming. So, Hilma, town coordinator office hours for next week. Hilma would like to alter her hours for the week. Thursday is Veterans Day, and she would like to have Friday off. So I didn't have an issue with that. Sue, Brian, everybody okay with that?
Yep.
I'm fine.
Okay. She will be in the area if anything comes up, but it will be not working. Mm. Okay, so tomorrow at 5 or 5:30, thank you, 5 o'clock, There is a meeting, and we did have it in our mail. This is just kind of a reminder that it is happening tomorrow. It's my understanding that Tom Lively will be going as the chair of the Finance Committee, and perhaps Ned might be going. I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah. Okay. So just for fellow select board members, I asked Hilma to make sure that if you don't have that email with the information yet, you'll be getting it tonight. If you want to take a look at that on your own time tomorrow, there's just a little bit of information. And if you have any feedback that you'd like to have forwarded on, you can just send that to Tom as the chair or Ned. And, you know, individually you can send that so that if you have any questions or anything, it's basically, I don't know if you... Everybody's got a mute. Somebody's not muted. Ooh, check to make sure you're muted, please. Other than select board and Hilma. So if you have any questions or thoughts on that email, go ahead and send that. It's like I said, some options are gonna be discussed for payment projections for the bonds that we voted in, like I said, at ATM. And the meeting was for either someone, the chair of the select board or the chairs of finance. So finance is going to take care of that for us and then come back to us. Anything, did you get to send that out, Hilma? Do they already have that?
I did send it out, but it was very late this afternoon. Okay.
All right. So check and see if you get that. And if you want to send a note, do so tomorrow. And then the other item I had was Hilma, do you have the number on that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so could you read that for everyone? There's one outstanding invoice that we needed to approve for broadband build out in the amount of?
It's in the amount of $10,891.57. We received an email from Sheila saying that the MLB approved it and that the amount is within budget.
Thank you. So this was, I believe, a standard pay rec. Mm-hmm. So if we're okay, I think our job is to approve those so that they can go ahead and release that. Well, I can sign it and then we can release it. So if we could make a motion for approval of the invoice in the amount of
$10,891.57. So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you. So those were my extra items. I know we're going to have a little bit of time. I will also announce now, unless Hilma tells me anything different, we have the 7:15 appointment with Hilltown Theater. We have a hard stop at 8 p.m. because we have another appointment with Axon Properties at 8 p.m. When that is done, we will be going into, is our intent to be going into executive session. If we have one executive session, there's two listed. At this point, we're not sure if we'll do two, but we may be. If one is listed, we will not enter into open meeting after that executive. If we have two, we will have the first executive, and then we will open back up into open meeting just for a short period to go right back into executive number two, and then we would not go back into open. So there will be no other open discussion in between those executive meetings, unless a fellow select board member has anything they wanted to add or if Hilma needs to change that. Sue, anything?
Nothing.
Brian?
Nothing.
Hilma?
No, nothing. Okay.
So that's just an FYI for everyone that's here. Once we enter into executive, there won't be any other open meeting conversation. So 7:09, anything else, Hilma? We got 5-6 minutes.
Well, I guess the other thing that I could just announce to everybody is that the generator arrived this morning from Maine. Yep. The highway department unloaded it off the trailer. It's in a temporary location right now. I sent out an email this afternoon to all the different interested parties, I guess. John and Nick, Tim and Jeff, and just kind of outlined the different pieces that need to come next in terms of getting the cement pad poured. Osterman, who was supposed to come last week, except the woman had some kind of an emergency, is coming tomorrow morning. Tim and I will meet with her. And John is also working on securing electrical services. So we're trying to get all the different pieces together to have the generator installed and hooked up to the transfer switch.
Great, good job.
Yeah.
So for everybody here, that's a generator that's going to be servicing the Jacobs Road building. So that's good news. Good news. Good job, everyone. What else? Anything, Sue, that you can think of? Questions, thoughts, couple minutes?
Oh, a question. The Council on Aging, were you going to ask them to come to our meeting on the 9th? We have a meeting tomorrow. I can just let them know.
Sure.
Helma and I had that very conversation today. I said, I think we're supposed to have Council on Aging.
I think I can let them know.
No, I wanted to, because I know that's like a loose string. We got to get back on that. We've got that just to be able to touch base in general, but we also have that coordinator position just kind of hanging out there. So
Yeah.
I want to. I want to very much so. I'm kind of excited to think we might actually at some point get to a time where we can really start doing things again, especially with the seniors, you know? So, yeah.
Hopeful. Very hopeful.
I know. I have to keep positive. Mm-hmm. Keep positive.
Okay, so I will let them know that we'll be scheduled for the 9th.
Yes, thank you.
Brian, do you have anything?
I don't have anything at the moment.
Okay. 3 minutes. I could do a little, I could sing for you all, but that would be very, very sad.
You could introduce
you probably lose the audience.
Yes.
There is a cat here too, but the rest of them I locked up. There's one.
I make a motion that Robin sings for us.
No.
Is that how it works?
I second the motion. No.
I totally appreciate all of you, but.
That was your police chief, I think.
Oh, was it? Oh, thanks, John.
No, I think it was Arlie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was not me. That was not me for the record. And I already did hear a second, so I won't add to that.
No, I would be very scared that he may arrest me. So that would be the next one. Chair of Select Board. Arrested
for singing. For bad singing.
If you're taking requests, I second that emotion.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. It's very sweet of you.
Robin.
But it ain't happening. Yeah, Helmer?
I can say something serious.
Oh, good.
I just want to say that I have been extremely appreciative of a handful of volunteers who have been coming into the office and helping unpack boxes of files and doing some sorting, doing some archiving, I guess. And it's just, as Sue will attest, because she's one of the volunteers, that it's been many, many, many years since those files have really been reviewed and organized at all. I've been able to carry on my regular daily work and other folks have stepped in and helped me out with that.
Great. That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks. That's good to hear. And that is a wonderful way to lead right to that 7:15 mark. So you don't have to hear me sing. Jonathan.
Yo.
Yes. You wanna go ahead and maybe go through, introduce your folks. There's a lot of people here. Welcome, everyone.
I think I'm gonna
thank you.
There's too many of them. I think I'm gonna let them introduce themselves, but I will call on them. I think I have a list here. And I'll start by saying for that fan base that Hilma was referring to, they just moved the majority of the municipal offices, including public safety, to 18 Jacobs Road, which many of you know as the Heath School. But so that's what Hilma was referring to. And that Eve Solomon Fernandez, who was on our advisory council and a parent, said that just texted me and said she wanted folks to know she wanted to be here, but she's actually at a doctor's appointment with her kids, so who's going to be fine. So I will just go through the list and call on people and let them, I told them they could, you know, put on a cup of tea. They didn't have to be dialed in completely, but that they would introduce themselves. So Dan Lane, I'll start with.
Hi, everybody. Nice to meet you. And for the second time, I was on your first call this summer. I'm just calling out of here from Oberlin, Ohio.
And Dan is a board member with us on Hilltown Youth. And next is just going down. I don't know if 413-337-5525 is one of ours.
No.
That's Pam.
Oh, hi, Pam. I should recognize that number. Arlie Hart is next. Arlie Hart is next. Just say your name and what you do for Hilltown Youth.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Arlie Hart. I provide the flying trapeze rig that we use each summer in our productions and also work as the rigging and safety coordinator for the group.
Denise, thanks, Arlie. Denise, you go next.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me tonight. I'm a PhD student at UMass Amherst in public health, and I'm working on a three-year project in terms of evaluating the Hilltown Youth Recovery Theater program. I and my youngest daughter spent the summer with the program in July and August, and I'm really glad to be here.
Thanks, Denise. Ed, you're next. If you're hearing, he may be out of range. Ed is Ed Whitaker, and he's one of our sponsors and a parent.
Yeah, hi, Ed Whitaker, hi.
Thanks, Ed.
Yep.
Who's next? Franklin.
I'm Franklin Speck. I was the music director for a while. I've been with the program for 10 years, first as a participant and then a counselor and now something.
A guest artist. And Jaden, are you on the line? Jaden is one of our, are you there? She would have.
She's muted.
She would have the, oh, okay. Go ahead, Jay.
My name is Jade. I was a participant since I was 8, and then I was a counselor for a little while. So, long time.
And Kelly, you're next.
My name's Kelly. I'm actually here with Jaden. Long time parent.
And Laura.
I am a parent of participant, and I've been working with John helping the participants build a world in 3 weeks. And I've been doing that for like 10 years now.
You're also on the board. I think you're the vice president.
I am.
Yeah, I believe, yes, for sure. And who's next? Tara.
Hi, Tara Mason, parent and patron. Good to be here. Thank you.
Theo.
Hi. I was the social work intern this past summer and I'm sticking around.
And Zach.
Hi, I'm Zach calling from New Orleans. I have been a participant and music director and artistic director at different times in the last 10 years. And I'm now a board member.
Rhea.
Hi, I'm Ray LaBrew. I was a camper at first for a long time, and now I help teach aerial fabrics.
Probably the youngest person in the country that's able to say that sentence, but Arlie would be the judge of that. And last, as he's already introduced himself, but I think if I, Larry, go ahead. You're a townsperson, but you're also—
Hi folks, I'm here still.
And Larry,
yeah. The kids away.
Larry's on our board as well. So we have, it looks like we have 5 formal board members, and Denise, who's helping us with our strategic planning, Eve is helping us with that, and the rest of the folks, self-evident. Did I see AJ on there somewhere, Arlie? No, I guess not. Okay, we're good. Anything else, Robin?
Great. Thank you. So I will just, first of all, again, thank you all for coming. Thank you for this the amazing interest, the amazing work that you all do. I've said that already in public a number of times. And so we have, the select board's had a meeting. We've received, been in receipt of a proposal, a couple of proposals. We've reviewed that in our meeting. And then which was just yesterday. So we quickly got out our response to that proposal in the form of a response, another proposal. And I didn't know, in the sake of time, Jonathan, are you going to be responding, or how are you guys going to handle this?
I think what I'll do is I'll respond. And if I think there's something that somebody else can speak to, or people can use that Zoom thing and raise their hand if they want to comment on it. But Robin, I think I'll let you, I will speak to it. And if I want somebody to comment, I'll reach out to them. But if somebody raises their hand, Robin, just for sanity, why don't you call on, you let them know, you recognize them, even if they're with us, right? Like,
sure.
Just so that, cause it's, we're not all in the same room, literally. So I think that would be the easiest. And what I'll say is that I sent your counter proposal to most of the people on this call have seen it. But the folks who I spoke with about it today are the folks that are on the board, except for Tara. But and so I think I can save us some time by saying that everybody feels like the classroom piece, the $15,000 for the math that was done on the classrooms makes sense and sense to us. The sticking point is the gym piece. And so I'm just going to recap some of the highlights of the back and forth I had, because I think that'll bring us into the present moment. And then you can just tell us how you think it's best to proceed, Robin. So
fair enough.
So we're trying to get, what I'm trying to do is find a way to get it to win-win, where the select board feels like they're doing due diligence and getting what they feel is a, getting money that will cover the cost of the space and also some more, hopefully. But I'm trying to get Hilltown Youth into a space, obviously that's the goal, a roof over our heads where we don't have to, where we can make plans and have some predictability and do that in a way that doesn't stretch us. So when I saw the differences, the first thing that I did is Larry and I spoke, and I took one of the classrooms out so that we would knock $6,000 off by just using the preschool room. That wouldn't preclude us from possibly growing into the other room, what we all know who used the who were there when it was a school called the art room that Triwire was using. So we would just use the one classroom. All the other stuff that you mapped out and the way that you did, some people said we need to get into specifics. And I said that Hillman, Rob, and I made a conscious choice not to do that in the public venue, that we could have a memorandum of understanding about what, limited use of the all school space meant, that we could have a separate, that we could drill down on some of those things separately and attach it to a lease. And so Larry also suggested that I come up with how much we actually, the days that we use the gym. And so going back to when the school was open, so I'm thinking like max, amount of time in terms of winter programming. And we hope to work back to that. But obviously, since we don't have a operating school on the site, it's about getting people to the space, right? Like, so some of our, we don't have 40, 50 people that are participating in the program that are right there after school. But going back to the most usage and our recovery intensives and our summer program, we probably use the gym 88 days a year, okay? And so the price for that piece was the piece that was the sticking point. And I think that, I really think that that cuts to the chase, Robin. I don't think there's, I can say that I have, I can go through a counter proposal if you want me to, something that I thought would, that might work for everybody, but I wanted to, I'll stop there and see if there's any questions, but if you want, I can just say what sort of, after I metabolized all the feedback I got, I came up with a counter proposal, and I can share that if and when you're ready.
So I will say on behalf of the board, because this was kind of the most challenging piece was the gym. So I think we all at least agree that that's the challenging one on as to how to handle and what that value is. It was clear at the meeting that the select board felt there was a need to maintain, and I hate the word control, but you know, quote unquote control of that space. So that's where this, so I think yes, an open and a conversations needed about that. And perhaps if you want to give your counter proposal, then that'll allow Sue and Brian to be able to then kind of speak to that a little bit, okay. Maybe digest it and speak to it.
Sure. So this is what I came up with. And I feel like the two big issues were, and yeah, it's not the greatest word, but you guys, the board wanted control, but if you drill down on that, what it really means is it wants to have the town feel like there's some flexibility, that they're not giving, that there isn't one entity that has exclusive use to the gym, and that a really important community space for anything from volleyball games to family reunions to another organization, a yoga class, something that other physical activities that a space like that could be valuable for in a community, that's what you want to keep the door open to. It's not control in a literal sense. It's really about the gym still remaining in some form or fashion a community space. Mm-hmm. And what Hilltown Youth is looking for, what I want, my ideal outcome, Robin, is at the end of our deliberations, not necessarily tonight, but that is, I want the flexibility. I do not want to have to be in a situation where I'm in the art room or in the preschool room with some of our grant writers and board members, and we have some of our children of those people who are in the program with us, and it's a Friday afternoon, and I know nobody's been in that gym for 3 months besides us, and somebody says, can we go in and let a silk down? And I have to say, no, it's not technically our time to use it. If Rhea, for example, calls me up and says, do you mind if some of us want to work out? We have a big, we have this big performance we're doing for the Opioid Task Force. We just did this last week in front of the mm-hmm. courthouse, and we would really like to work out a routine. I don't want to have to say, oh, we can't do that because, we didn't have the lead time to ask. So what I want to be able to do is like check an online schedule and say, you know what? There's nobody in there. And yes, you may go in there, mm-hmm. which would not preclude you guys from, because I don't think any use that the town is using, nobody's going to say at the last second, hey, we want to start a pickup volleyball game tonight. Can we get in there? Like you would be coming to me and saying, hey, we're going to need it for that day. We want to be respectful of the blackout times. For example, there's 8 weeks or let's say 5 weeks in the summer where you wouldn't do that. But other than that, you want to just give us notice that there's going to be something and is, and let us know that we're going to need to work around that. And you'd have a schedule of our regular programming. So I think there's lots, and that's not the only way to resolve those problems, but those were the two things I was holding. Mm-hmm. So what I came up with was, and in terms of the square footage and all of it, I came up with us giving for the first year until, so I love the time frame. Everything else in the proposal made sense to me. I love the time frame and opening it, in case there was anything to be discussed and to check in and see how it's working on September 22, but it going through September 23. But I had us paying $15,000 for the first year for the preschool room, the cafeteria as stipulated in your counter proposal, the kitchen, all that, the all school space, the storage closet, and the gym, and including the gym in the way I just mapped out. And then in January 1st, 23, the annual rent would go up to $20,000 for the same arrangement. with the exception of that starting in January 23, and you could be you could allow us to do this before then, but otherwise I was assuming we'd go through the building committee. But starting in January 23, we would, for that 20,000, we would get use of the art room, what we call the art room, where Tri-Wire was, for our five busiest weeks in July and August, for the when the summer program is running, and for possibly 2 weeks in the winter when our winter program spectacle is happening. But that obviously would be tenant, that would depend if there was not a regular renter. So if that room was empty, that we would have access to it for those, you know, for that time, you know. But obviously if there's a regular renter or use in it, that wouldn't happen. But that was my counter proposal. And that we would get, and also I was going to ask for a right of first refusal, meaning that if somebody did express interest in that art room, that second classroom facing the soccer fields that Tri-Wire's been in, that you would offer it to us first and say, are you guys ready to, you know, mm-hmm. it's been a year, are you ready to expand? Are you, you know, if we want to offer this to you because we know you had interest in it, and if you're ready to pull the trigger on it, we'll give it to you. Otherwise, we have this other renter. So you may, you know, it may come open again during your tenure with us, but it might not, you know.
Jonathan, can I ask a point of clarification?
Sure, please do.
Okay. Art room, you said for the 8 weeks in the summer and the...
5 weeks, 5 weeks, not 8 weeks, 5 weeks.
5 weeks in the summer and two weeks. The other thing?
2 weeks in the winter. Like if we have a winter production at the school, and that might not, right now I'm hoping to do that at Berkshire East, but if we had, let's just say that the COVID situation, like, you know, say that things trend positively, if we were gonna do a performance at the school, that we would have the access to that room for two, you know, for like the production week, basically, Hilma, like we'd have, and really, honestly, because, and you guys have things like this that may seem silly to an outsider, but you know when you're there, you know what a game changer is. That's really me saying Laura will have access to a serious art sink during, if we're doing an indoor production, when we're doing it, you know, like, but so it would be for 2 weeks or the production week and one additional week during in the winter. And for the 5 weeks in the summer when our four or 5 weeks in the summer when we're at our busiest. Again, assuming you don't have a tenant in there, because if you do, that's off the table.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Jonathan. Okay. Select board. Brian, you want to start?
Well, first of all, I wondered who in your organization is responsible for financial matters, for accounting and budgeting.
That's being done by committee at this point. Brian, we don't have, I just asked a donor if they would make a contribution for what's not a very sexy ask, because it's not like for the trapeze or the net or things like that, but for me to hire administrative help. But right now, all of that is being done by Denise and Theo and I, it's being done sort of by committee.
Okay. Did you just make a counter?
We have an accountant that donates their services in kind, Joe Ripka, and the law firm that we use does the same thing. They donate they file our papers with the state, you know, Secretary of State and stuff, and that's done by I'm blanking on their name, Kevin Maynard, but it's Buckley and something in Springfield.
Okay. So your counter proposal is 15,000.
For the first, for until, and then it goes for until January 1st, 2023, and then it goes up to, it goes up 5,000, then it goes to 20,000.
But you're getting more space at that point.
For 5 weeks in the summer. At that point, I'm asking, when we go up to 5,000, I'm asking for, if it's not rented, the use of the Tri-Wire room for the 4 weeks in the summer and for 1 week or 2 weeks in the winter. And that's assuming you don't have a tenant. And prior to that, my assumption would be we would go to the building use committee for that. if we wanted to, in other words, if in the summer we wanted to use that, if we wanted to use that additional space, we didn't this summer, Tri-Wire was in there, but we would have to go to the building use and ask for it.
I guess I can't really comment on this without doing a little bit of an analysis, because what's going to happen is if you're in the room and you're, you know, you're meeting and doing your business in there, that's one thing. But if you, if the rest of the building has to be open and heated and all that during the time you're there, that has an impact on the operation or expenses of the facility. And we have to figure out what that would be. And part of the way they would do that, or we would do that, is to know how often you're going to be there. You know, like,
so you're talking about the gym? Are you talking about
in the building? And you said you want to be able to go down to the gym if you want to, which, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But if you, you know, if the building has to be heated fully to accommodate whatever you're going to do, I guess I would want to know what's going to happen. You know, how many days would you be there? How many days would you be in the atrium space or the cafeteria? Or, you know, you said 88 days of the gym. I'm assuming those are full days.
They are not all full days. Some of them were half days, but for our purposes, I'm fine with you calling them full days. Like that, that's okay. But it's like most of them were, most are 4 or 5 hours at a time, but there are some during the intensives where we're there for 6 hours. You know, some of them are for our purposes, I'm fine with you thinking of them as full days, Brian. And I also just want to say that two things. One is that right now, the reason why the gym is so important to me and the spontaneity of it, I mean, or having the access to it when it's not, if it's not being used by the town, one, it's not just the frustration of it and our having our fabrics in there. But for example, there are some day-to-day stuff. Like if we were gonna have a meeting right now of all of the summer staff, you know, if I put out an email and said, I'd like to have a check-in with all the summer staff before we get into the season and we're gonna have a gathering, under the current circumstances, I would move that into the gym because it's the one place where we can have a large body of people and physically distance, you know, like, so a lot of it right now is that it's a safe place to gather. Most of our programs require it, but now it's also a safe place to use it. And the other thing is just to say to all three of you, I am not anticipating in us, I don't think you guys were either, but I am hoping what will happen tonight is that we'll shoot the arrow and paint the bullseye around it. In other words, we'll say, okay, we're agree in principle on these pieces. And then what you, and we like the idea of being more creative about looking for some creative solutions with the gym. You, Jonathan and Hilma, and maybe with Robin's input, you go off and come up with a couple of proposals and come back to us. That's what I'm hoping might happen around this sticking point tonight.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have a problem with you using the gym as you suggested, if it's not in use, you know, by any other organization. The question is that that kind of use would mean that it had to be left in the state that it was in when you entered it. So you couldn't leave stuff all over the place. Mm-hmm. Because that would interfere with other people's ability to use that space.
Of course.
So I don't know what Robin and Susan feel about, or how they feel about it, but I think if no one's using the space, I don't see any problem with going in, you know. I mean, there are issues of custodial care and cleaning up, but if the rules were that if you used it, you left it in the state that it was in, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Want to think about the finances of this.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Because we know about how much it costs to operate the building under various circumstances. I know that theater companies do not work on a regular 9-to-5 basis. They're there midnight sometimes or 2 in the morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's going to have some kind of impact on the operation as well. So, I'm listening to you, but I don't have an opinion yet on the financial part.
I can give a, and one thing that might help is in addition to the 88 days, I can give a, it's very easy for me, especially in this first year or two, I don't think it's going to change much, but it will hopefully, especially if we, you know, put in a, like a regular elementary after school program, like classroom, or if we do some, you know, pursue some of the other things we're hoping to have happen. But I can tell you, I can give Hilma a map of like our high volume times, like the summer programming, like our stuff is, you're right in that we come in at kind of crazy hours at times, but we do have a rhythm. Like it is easy for me to predict over the next year or two when those high volume times are gonna be, like when those 88 days, it's not random, Brian. In other words, those 88 days are clustered in certain places and they even come like the intensives, the seasonal intensives usually fall in the same four weekends every year. The spring one, we move a little bit based on the weather.
Okay. I think I don't have anything to say further right now.
Dan or Denise, do either of you have anything you want from my team? You guys, like, I don't know, Denise, if this is a time where you want to weigh in a little bit.
So just jumping off of Brian, your request.
One second, Denise. Robin, is it okay to recognize her?
Sorry.
Yeah, I just want to give Sue an opportunity to talk too. So if it's a comment directed toward what Brian was asking, then fine. Go ahead, Denise, if that's the case. Yeah.
All right, apologies.
Thank That's you. Okay.
Jumping off of kind of Brian, your point about wanting to analyze the finances and the numbers, I think on my end, that would be a really fruitful exercise for us too, in thinking about knowing what the maintenance costs are on a monthly basis, knowing what, you know, how much you all have to allocate budget-wise to heat the building. Makes sense to me, and that's certainly, at least at the moment, a kind of a black box unknown on our end to know what the square footage dollar amount could be or should be for each month, because certainly you know, we would want to take care of the building, be good citizens and co-stakeholders with you all on that front, and helping us analyze the data as well would be awesome. So I appreciated that.
So I'm just going to give Sue a chance as the other select board member, and then if other people have comments or questions, we'll open it right up. Sue, go ahead.
I think this is all pretty new for all of us, trying to develop these dual purposes for the school building. At the same time that we're trying to bring in the municipal side of the town, we're also really hopeful to support your program, Jonathan, because it is a very valuable program. So you're right. That. We're looking for a win-win for both sides. And so, you know, I think I appreciate your willingness to kind of start it out slow and looking at it as something that we can build on as we learn more about how all of this is going to fit together. And I kind of consider this first year as a bit of an experiment as we really try to find out what, as far as our relationship with each other as a town and a nonprofit business, how our relationship is going to blend and work together. And this first year is really an experiment that we're all going to learn from. There are many, many details to work out, but I think that the big thing for us right now, the immediate thing, is to just try to really figure out the big pieces of it and what spaces are really going to be most beneficial to you, what spaces the town needs to protect for itself, what kind of money is involved in keeping not costing the town more, but not costing you more either. So that we still have some work to do. One of the things that we talked about when we were meeting the other day was your request for outdoor space, and you had asked for some exclusive use of the playground. We wondered if you could explain that a little bit more.
Your counter proposal explained what I mean. Maybe I didn't articulate it as well, Sue, but the way you said it in the counter proposal is exactly what I was envisioning. In other words, there'd be a blackout time, although people use the playground, you know, it's a playground. So, you know, the only issue is really COVID. Like if we were sterilizing the slides and the swing, you know, like, and we don't generally use the playground as Pam, when who's on the building use committee, like the idea is to keep that space available for public people to come in. So it's just that it's more that when the trapeze is up, when we're in the summer program, we have the playing fields and we're sort of a priority. So if somebody comes and they can't shoot basketballs, they, you know, they have to put up with that for those 4 weeks, but otherwise it's a public space. So when our programs that, you know, our specific programs where we're like, we're putting a tent up over that basketball hoop, you know, for those 4 weeks, it's obviously out of play, but otherwise there isn't any, you know, it's just during those specific times that certain areas are not going to be able to be used the way that people are used to using them. But the playground was used not a ton, but the playground was used during the time that we were there. And the only thing I had to do, Sue, was because of the Corey stuff, I just had to be sort of aware of like who was there. You know what I mean? It just meant that I had to be more sort of alert, but it's in our most public area. Like every faculty that's on campus is pretty much in that area. So I don't have to worry too much about that. And, you know, so what the way that you mapped it out was 100% comfortable to me. And I don't think I had written it quite specifically. I just had referred to it. So I'm comfortable with what you guys are envisioning.
All right. We kind of felt like you had used the word that you wanted, I think, exclusive use of the four square area. And we suspected that what you really meant was that you wanted to reserve that during certain times for the activities that you have.
Yes,
it wasn't an exclusive use year round.
Yes.
But we just wanted to make sure that we were understanding it correctly.
We're on the same page with that.
Totally. Okay. I think that's all I got right now.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Jonathan, are you using paper plates for a notepad?
Really, we're in a public meeting, you're gonna shame me that way, select board agrees. Yes, I am using a paper plate for my notes.
and it's a used paper plate as well. No. if I may jump in.
Help give you more confidence in the fact that I'm one of the CFOs, Brian. Go ahead, Dan.
Right, yeah. So I was just following on from what Denise had mentioned. I was thinking the same thing, and just codifying historical costs and just having like the cost of the brick, right? That we can lay these bricks down and go, okay, Jonathan's, you know, we're going to be using 88 days and from what you've settled on as a cost, this is what a day costs. And I know we've got a long way probably to get there, but I'd be really curious historically, you know, what's the heating bill? What's it take to bring it to a usable, you know, heat in the gym? You know, particularly focusing on the gym, I guess, but also in general, the building. And then if there's a way to just all agree saying, here's a standard day cost that we can all count on and just not have to look over our shoulders, you know, for the next, you know, maybe you work out a 5-year long lease or something that has a you know, a reasonable, you know, balancing act on the cost at that, or a 2-year or something. But yeah, just finding that foundation, I think it's going to be super important. Then it doesn't have to be revisited for X amount of time.
Thanks, Dan. I have a recap, Robin, when you're ready. So you can tell me when you're ready for that.
I have a couple questions myself, actually. Can you just speak a little bit about how you see the use of like the atrium, that general area? Are you envisioning anything there right from the beginning, or how are you seeing that used?
This is the hardest piece because I'm having to reach back. Like I'm thinking about how we've used it the last 2 years, but to think about it in terms of a normal year, we've been making COVID. So for the last two, like for our summer programs in 2020, we used the cafeteria for 45 minutes, Sue, Brian, and Robin. Mm-hmm. And otherwise we were outside 100% of the time. And that's right. Because you gifted us that, you left that tent up and let us use it. And then we rented it ourselves and put it up, for 2021. So what I will say, the way I imagine it being used is if we're in a production, whether it's summer or winter, I could see letting a group of two or three kids, if there wasn't people out in that, if there wasn't a meeting taking place there, I could see allowing two or three kids with an older person supervising, a 17-year-old, not necessarily somebody 18, because we're in the open space, but kids that were working on a playwriting, like if there was a playwriting breakout group, a group working on a scene, I could see letting them write quietly in the all school space. And I would remind them that this is a working space and that there's offices here now. And that was true before, by the way, but now there's like a lot more,
right.
And then they could, come back into the gym when they were done. And that's how I would see it being used pretty much in terms of being good neighbors and the way other people might be using it, that's how we'd use it. I could see in the evening, if we had a late night activity, rehearsal, whatever, and I asked some parents or, who were volunteering to do some, make food for a fundraising event we were doing, and we were gonna have a quick meeting before the rehearsal. I can imagine if the space wasn't being used, us being there, sitting down in that space with a group of people. If, for example, the art room, if we were in production and Laura had a bunch of painting going on, I could see that. Otherwise, I see us using it as the way that we did back when the school was open, when drama club was in full swing. Actually, we did this up until in 2020, our production of Jungle Book got stopped because of COVID, but Hilltown Drama Club was using it. And the way I would see us picking up under the new circumstances, because we used to have rehearsals there every week, now we would rehearse in the gym or in our classroom space, and we would do it like we do at Berkshire East. We would workshop the work in our spaces, and then we would have use of it for 7 to 10 days in the winter. And reaching way back to our first indoor winter spectacle, say we were doing Charlotte's Web, you would tell all of your office people, and if there were any other tenants, the theater program is gonna rehearse some evenings. We would rehearse late at night in the open space. And then we would, the production week, leave up the setup for a week, and we would do the show. And if it was Charlotte's Web, Brian and Pam would be dancing in it. Doug Wilkins would be calling the square dance. Tim Lively and Sue would be dancing in it and the square dance, and we would have Art calling it, but it would be kind of like it would be like a community theater event for that week. And then we would take everything down and it wouldn't happen again till the next year. So I saw it being used for a week intensely if we were gonna do a winter, like some kind of a spectacle, and that we might do some late night rehearsals when the offices were closed. It's a little trickier if it's elementary kids, but what I mean is 6 to 8 o'clock. And then mm-hmm. and then it would only be during that, that's how I saw it. Otherwise we would just use it. I could imagine letting two or three people go and work on a scene or on some kind of a writing project, anything. In other words, a quiet project.
Okay.
Like that. And we might have some meetings there the way you guys might, I don't know, sometimes step out of your offices and sit in mm-hmm. the couches mm-hmm. and talk,
Okay. All right. And then the kitchen and the cafe, kitchen to store cold items.
Kitchen, the way we talked about it, the way Robin, yeah. you and I and Hilma talked about it. Anybody that's coming in to work in our space, like in the preschool room, they're coming in the morning or evening or afternoon, they can put their yogurt or their lunch in the fridge in the kitchen. And that's what we would use it for. And they can heat up something in the microwave. And mm-hmm. if we wanted to use it for anything else, like a fundraising event or something, we would have to go through the town, whatever protocols you put in place. Like, for example, when the firemen want to have their pancake breakfast, if we decided to do something similar as a fundraiser, we would have to go through those same application process, and we would pay a fee for that in addition, above and beyond what our rent was.
Right. Okay, great. Thanks.
The cafeteria, I see a little differently. The cafeteria, I see you allowing us to use it like when our programs are running, we use it as a snack space assuming you're not having an event, you know, a clinic in there, and that we use it as a, if we're having a recovery intensive, as a dinner space, because you don't want us using, you know, we don't want to have kids eating in the gym, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So that's how I see the CAF limited, but we are not having to pay for that. And that would just be during those times of rehearsals and when programs are happening. Otherwise, if, I don't know how it is now with the municipal offices, but if somebody's heating up something, some soup in the microwave, they can bring it back to our office to use it, you know, to eat.
Okay. Yeah.
Only when we have kids that the CAF becomes kind of a necessary place to have, you know, snacks. And of course, if right now under COVID, anytime we can be outside eating, we're outside eating. Anytime.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah. The Building Use Committee is looking into renting the kitchen, like the CDC kitchen.
Yep.
Something you would have to work around.
Yep.
You know, there might be some times when it wasn't available.
The solution to that would be to put a refrigerator in one of our spaces.
And there is a possibility that the library would be moving, and that they do their programs on Saturday. So that might be another thing that you would have to consider as well, because they may do things out in the atrium space as well as in the library. And they do have children's programs occasionally. So that's something we would have to think about.
I see that as kismet, Brian. In other words, if we're bringing kids up to there, to the space, and they're bringing, I mean, I think that would be a mutually benefit. In other words, any of their kids that see our silks, that's good for us. Any kids that we bring up there and, or families we bring up there and see a poster that says, you know, library event for children, this set, you know, that's good for them.
Well, but on the other hand, this is something that would have to be coordinated with the library. They would have to staff on it.
Yeah. But again, the only time I would see that being an issue is during, if we're doing a winter spectacle, when we're literally doing the production, which doesn't mean people can't be out there. It just means during that 1 week, we're not taking, you know, it's the some things are installed, but I think that wouldn't be that's not a logistical hassle, I don't think. Mm-hmm. We would know that would be a performance, and we would know well in advance when that was going to be, and we could check with all the entities, or we could let Hilma know when we want to do that, and she would check with everybody.
Okay.
Anything else, Brian?
No, that should do it for me.
Okay. Hilma?
Just to address like comments that Dan and Denise have made in terms of like utility costs, to give you a little perspective. Well, number one, part of the struggle is that we have figures for when the total the entire building was being operated as an elementary school. We also have figures of the building essentially next to no use, you know, almost entirely vacant. So that makes it kind of challenging. I can say that the electric bill that covered the month of July was $300 higher than what it was for the month of June. The one significant change in use was your group. Okay, just to give you a little perspective on what happens, at least with the electric bill, when there's people in there, you know, with a much higher volume of use for many more hours.
And that's something that we as select board members know we have to kind of try to pinpoint a little bit as best we can. And it's going to be kind of a rolling target, obviously, until we get up and going with everybody in there. But it is something we know we have to work on.
Can I respond on. Can I respond to that specific point?
Yeah.
So Hilma, we have to go quick, and then I'll recap for you. Hilma, July is our highest volume use, right? That's when we have the most, like, participants, the most faculty. We're in there at all kinds of hours. Like, that's our high volume use. But what I want to point out to you is when those times during those last 2 years when you said the building was vacant, we were using it throughout all of our program. Like, we didn't stop using it. I was in there during those times in the winter, and it was cold sometimes, but we coped. You know, like, we were running, we did run our programs there during that time too. So I'm not surprised about that July spike, but I'm just pointing out to you that when you said it was virtually vacant, we were in there. We were running our programs, our fall, winter, and spring programs.
I don't think, we would have to do further analysis to see who was there, what was going on. I don't think can't say it was you or anybody else right now.
Okay, I'm willing to say though that I think it's fair to say that we might not have been responsible for the whole 300, but I wouldn't be surprised if we weren't responsible for a piece of it.
We ran a lot of things. Excuse
me, the difference between June and July was your group.
All right.
Counties was basically level.
So we've got to do a lot more on that. I want to give Sue one last chance as a select board member if she had any other questions secondary to that, because we are getting to the end and we have our other visitors here for their 8 o'clock appointment. So just Sue, anything else?
Nothing right now. Select
board? Okay.
No.
So if there's any quick comments from anybody else in the group, I'm happy to take those now. Laura?
I would just like to point out, we ran a lot of fans due to COVID. I don't think we would normally be using nearly as much electricity, but due to COVID and trying to keep everybody safe, we were trying to ventilate as much as possible.
True, we had six, seven going at the time, and some of them in Australia.
Larry?
Hey folks, costs, regardless of the costs, obviously people being in the building costs money. In the winter, it's gonna cost money too. And for these guys, tracking down those figures is pretty hard because there's lots of different variables each year. And then on top of that, the costs this year are unpredictable beyond any of our control because of, just the nature of things right now. I mean, I deal with materials. Material costs are huge. There's a lot of things slow in the chain. But I think the biggest thing is that, Jonathan wants to be there and he's been a great consistent figure. But the fact that the town also now is using it, we have to be careful to not, open the whole world up to that space. And I think everybody involved is pretty cognizant of that. And I think this one year, there's a lot of new things happening by the town starting to work in that building. So I think as far as very minute specifics, I think a lot of that stuff will be worked out throughout the year, if we can come to a good agreement, money-wise, getting what Jonathan can afford for what he needs and the town maintaining enough space that they need, which I'm sure will happen. I think after a year, it'll be easy in hindsight to be like, oh yeah, this or that, and to sort of filter through these things a little bit clearer once the select board and the town has had a year in that building. Energy costs are going to be energy costs. So if people are in there, but now that the town's going to be in there, they'll be using some energy too. So that world is a bit muddy, and will be hard to sort that out. But overall, the bulk of the thing would be that there is space. It has a value. We have people that want to use it, and overall it benefits the community no matter what, as long as we're not hindering the community from doing their business they need to already,
Yes.
And so I think that's the big takeaway, but I think overall everybody's pretty there. It's just a matter of doing that balancing act of negotiating, and Jonathan's thing about taking out the classroom lessens the nut, and right. But at the same time, him bearing down and saying, all right, logistically, I don't use it 365 days a year. When do I use it? And that's a room for him to sort of get some money back as this thing gains traction. And then the last thing is, obviously, again, it benefits the community. Jonathan knows that too. So as years go forward and we can get fundraising, if he essentially has a place to call his home there, we can build towards at getting more money. If the town needs more money for a room and we're seeing we need the more room, then, you know, at least if he has a foothold, he can generate better income from grants and things like that. So, you know, I guess that would be the parting thing, is just that overall, both sides, I see wanting it. It's just a matter of finding what works for everybody, you know, and that's my two cents.
Thanks, Larry. And I think we all agree on that. Brian, did you have anything you wanted to say in closing?
I agree with what Larry said.
Yeah.
I was going to say that our increasing use of the building is going to drive the cost of operation up anyway.
Yeah. You know?
And we'll be there during some of the times that you're using it. So you'll be generating revenue that you wouldn't otherwise have. In other words, you're going to have to heat it at that amount, or, you know, have the, you know, for that period of time, having us there during those times will just help offset some of that cost. But I have a closing comment too, Robin. When
so we'll generate more heat too. So
there you go.
Okay, you're right. You're an architect. You're right.
Okay, I'm going to, Jonathan, go ahead. I'm going to let you close so that we can welcome our other guests who are patiently waiting.
And then, what I'd like before you welcome them, Robin, is just to tell us what the next step is. But
what
I'm saying is, as I looked at that proposal, and so you giving us taking a classroom off the table and keeping that 15,000, we felt like the classroom spaces were reasonable. Most of our board people felt like the math around the gym didn't make sense to us, given the amount of use and given that you wanted to have it and the way that you wanted to have it accessible to other programs. So we took the other classroom off, are paying 15. In a sense, what you're doing for us is letting us, because we're leveling up, you're letting us get in there and pay and cover a $15,000 rent and giving us a chance to catch our breaths. Then what I'm proposing is before the lease is up on 123, we go up 5,000. So we get closer to that $30,000 figure that you guys were thinking initially, wherever that came from. There might be other reasons that don't make sense to us, but made sense to you. And so my feeling is that, you know, by January 23, we'll be using less of the space than we were proposing, and we'll be paying $25,000 more for it. And it feels like the details at this point is for you, Robin, and I, and Hilma to figure out some kind of a flexible plan that allows, you know, that just, you know, that makes, that's not going to drive us crazy, you know, that's also traceable. You know, so we can go back and say, these were the times where there were conflicts, otherwise there weren't, you know, that, you know, so that we can read the water when it's time to renew.
Sounds good. Thank you. So the next steps will be that we will go into executive in this meeting after we meet with our next guests and the select board. So that'll be closed executive. Nobody will be able to attend that other than the town coordinator and the select board. And we'll discuss the counter proposal, and then we'll get right back to you with whatever we can and get into that.
Robin, Sue, and Brian, would it be helpful if while you guys are for me to write up what I just described, like to write it up and send it to, I'll just email it to Hilma so you have something in writing that in case you're talking, you know, like there, as best I can, I'll just give you I already wrote it down. So I'll just cut and paste it and send it to you, Hilma, and you'll have it for your executive session. You won't have it immediately, but okay, cool.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Hilltown people.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming.
Thank you
for sitting and listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you
all.
Thank you all for your help. Bye.
Okay. As some are signing off, some people are going to stay on, I'm sure. So welcome to our next group. Let's see my screen's going crazy. Some people shutting off. And so everybody's bouncing around and getting a new spot. welcome back, everybody. And hey, how are you? So go ahead. Since we do have some new guests, why don't you all give your introductions so folks that are here know who you are. And just a reminder, everybody else, if you could mute so we have good coverage, that would be great.
Hello, I'm Chris Utuma.
Ryan Yunt.
Joe Gordheber.
And I think you're here. You have a new proposal for us, perhaps? You want to talk?
Wait a minute.
What?
Mark James is also here.
Oh, where?
Well, he's the bottom center of my screen.
Oh, Mark, yes, sorry.
Hey, Bob, can you say hello, everybody?
I'm trying to make video on.
I see you now. Just no picture.
My video is not working, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. All right, so who would like to, so myself, I'm Robin, Select Board member. You know Sue Lively, Select Board member. Ryan DeVries, Select Board member. Hillmas Town Coordinator, John McDonough, Police Chief. And the rest of folks are other guests from town and also from Hilltown youth, so theater. So I'm gonna open the floor to you guys.
Okay, cool, sounds good. So our new proposal, last time we were in town, we did some pretty good due diligence on 136 Hossmore Road, which is Tommy's property. Unfortunately, during that due diligence period, we found that the property just wouldn't work for our use. The gross majority of acreage just wouldn't be farmable for us. We were able to locate a new property, which is 11 Bellor Road. We pursued a property in Heath just based on the feedback that we've gotten from the Select Board, from the Zoning Board, and then visiting in person and understanding the town more and meeting a lot of you on this call. So we wanted to continue to pursue this operation in Heath, and we've successfully put 11 Bellor Road under contract. So that's the main change. The only other change to the HCA that we sent over, and I don't know if everybody's had a chance to review, I believe is, Hilma, correct me if I'm wrong, is the addition of the charitable contribution that we would want to include to go, I believe, primarily towards the Hilltown Theater and their lease. And we set a floor per HCA, and we're looking at having four HCAs on this property of $5,000 per at a minimum annually that we'd like to give towards charity. But we didn't want to cap ourselves either, so we just set a floor because we want to be very charitable in the communities that we work in, and that's really in our DNA. So I think those are the two main changes, but happy to re-talk through anything else that we've discussed to date as well. But just to summarize, we're seeking under our HCA that we submitted four HCAs, each individual farmers, Joe, myself, Ryan, and Chris being three of them. Greg is not on this call with us. And then we're doing so on 11 Bellor Road. And just general feedback that we've gotten from the city, as well as our own perception as well, this property is actually kind of further away from other residents and off on its own.
Okay, great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Just a quick question for myself, then I'll open it up to Brian and Sue, but will the four, the four HCAs, are they going to run at the same time? What's the scheduling of that? How's that looking?
Yeah, so they would run parallel to one another, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, it's going to look like one farm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and for us, I think we've always been very clear on our needs, and the town has as well, and I think that's why we've gotten so far along. We would need that on this property, all four HCAs. So again, one real estate developer buys it, and then we have four separate businesses that lease land here to farm on.
Yeah. Okay, I'll open it up to my fellow members. Sue, you wanna start this time?
Sure. Are you hoping for the same kind of timeline that you had when you were looking previously
at? I would say similar, yes. However, this property, there's more cleared acreage and it's a little more buildable. So our goal would still to be operational in spring of 2022 though.
Okay. And were there any other changes in the kind of business plan that you had for this property compared to what you had previously told us?
No, we kept the business plan and the business terms that we submitted on the HCA previous exactly the same. Again, the only addition, I believe, was, Mark, you can correct me if I'm speaking out of turn, the only addition was the naming an amount and calling out charitable contribution in the HCA.
But as far as the amount of acreage that you were actually going to be growing on and those kind of things have all stayed the same?
Stayed the same.
You're not planning any retail business?
No retail. Stayed the same, just growing and manufacturing like the original was. And then still open to the conversation when we see how year one goes. If the town's open to it, you know, we'd be open to possibly bringing in more farmers, but right now our goal for this property is four and not more.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Brian.
I don't have a whole lot to say. I mean, I reviewed this before, the charitable contribution being the big change, which I think is a great idea. And it's certainly consistent with, you know, what the community impact concerns, or what should be covered by the community impact, that the idea that this program that the Hilltown Theater is running helps kids with problems of addiction or substance abuse. So it seems like a really good thing. And I wondered if this started on year one, or do you have to actually make sales before this comes into play?
Yeah, so our charitable contributions would start on year one. But at the same time, to answer your question, we'd be making sales in year one as well.
Okay. All right.
But we would want to really understand, you know, if there were a need for contribution prior to our harvest, we'd be willing to fill that need.
Thank you.
John, since you're here, Chief, do you have any questions? I know you've been sitting through, so I figured I'll reach out, just give you the opportunity.
I scanned through the agreement really quickly. Did I miss my four-wheeler in there somewhere?
Yes.
You know, the Cannabis Control Commission pretty much regulates what they need to be doing. And we did speak prior to them looking at that other site. And, you know, if there's anything we need to tweak with it or, you know, bring forward with it, they seem like they're fairly easy to work with.
Great. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hilma, anything from you?
I don't think so, but I think just if you folks wanted to reiterate the responses you gave me to some of my questions, that just like you had mentioned with the original site, you are hoping to get a like live-in year-round caretaker in the home. Mm-hmm. So it will be inhabited, and it won't be when, you know, in December when you close up operations for the winter, it won't be deserted for 4 months, that kind of thing.
So yeah, there's actually a nice house on the property already. So that's going to be the farmhouse mm-hmm. where we've already located our master grower, and he'll be relocating there to the area. Really, really great guy.
Wow.
And so we'll have that available. So if anybody, he'll be part of the community. I'll be there quite often as well, and so mm-hmm. you'll be seeing us around. So no, we're not gonna leave it abandoned.
That's good.
Thank you, Helma, for bringing that up. Appreciate that. And myself, I've read through, I'm happy. I pointed out to Helma, she may have already mentioned this. There might be a couple little wording items, like Board of Selectmen is still listed in here. We have to change that to Select Board. And I know that this is with our town council now, correct, Helma?
That's correct.
Yeah, so we're, as Select Board members, obviously just waiting for that last response back from our council. But I was hoping tonight that we would just get a general consensus between the three of us, for your sake, of course, to make sure we were all on the same page and happy. But go ahead, Helma, yeah?
One other question. Mm-hmm. And I know it was discussed a little bit with the first property, but do you folks foresee erecting any other buildings? I know there is a decent sized barn already on the building, on the property. But do you foresee that construction of more barns or other structures?
We do. Exact sizes right now, Helma, would be difficult. But I do want to really make the point that what we do is very much agricultural farming. It is not industrial. Mm-hmm. And the buildings that would be erected would be same in nature to what's there now. We actually went and connected with the building manufacturer that built the building that's on site, and we'd probably use something very similar. So it would appear to be a nice barn.
Okay, thank you.
Brian, anything else from you? Any other questions you're thinking of?
No, I just noticed their address was on Telegraph Road, and that used to be the drag strip when I was a kid growing up. The lights were so far apart.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. What part of Telegraph was that, man?
What's that?
What part of Telegraph? Do you remember what city that was in?
It was south, down towards Southfield.
Anyway. Oh, wonderful.
I grew up in Lathrop Village, so very familiar.
Woodward was tougher because of the lights and more cut.
Brian, this is a whole different side of you.
We occasionally ride our four-wheelers up and down Telegraph, so.
Nice. Sue, anything else from you for tonight?
Nothing. No, not right now.
We need to hear back from council so we can make an official vote on this. And what else do you folks need from us right now?
The one thing I just want to make sure we're aligned on, I know you need to have the HCA in finished form, but the true business terms, i.e. the floor, the cap, the fee that I know we discussed in great detail in former meetings, that hasn't changed at all. I just want to make sure as a party, we're all aligned on business terms. And if we're not, talk about that now, because I believe the meat of what both Mark and your council need to do is really get the document to where your council is comfortable from the CCC regulation side, and it's less business terms. I just know it makes the job a lot easier for attorneys when they know that the business parties are aligned on business terms.
So yeah, that's fair. Brian, do you have commentary? So I think we'd really be just looking at, you know, like mentioned, the fees, kind of the things we've talked about before for the previous property. Are you feeling good about this? Do you have any concerns?
It's similar to the other agreements, and you know, it's consistent with other agreements in other towns too. So
yeah.
I don't have any issues. I guess we have to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's crossed in terms of the state laws. And
yeah. Yeah.
But I think
I feel the same. Sue?
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. Yeah, so I think we are. I don't think we're questioning any of kind of, like, as you said, the meat of it. I think we're on the same page.
Sure. And one other question I had, if I may, is... going above the four HCAs, and I only ask because I'd rather just get it out on the table, you know, now, if let's say during the development. Not looking for a commitment at all right now, just openness. Would the, you know, would the select board be offended if, say, we get into, you know, midwinter and we're developing these properties and we have a you know, potential partner here, or somebody that we know here that would look to do a farm as well? Would the city be open to extending more HCAs at this time, or is it more of the mindset, let the first year go and then you know, revisit it from there? Just want to know.
And just to add to that question, just the comment, you know, you do the math, and four might seem like a lot because it's, you know, four times more than one. But again, I think this was really originally drafted by the CCC for indoor grows, which it is a lot for indoor. For outdoor, it's still only 9 acres, so it's still very small.
Yeah.
You know, it's only 9 acres of canopy and 400,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So it's still a very small canopy. It'd be a very small farm.
Yeah.
Probably the smallest farm in the community. So I just want to see if we do get additional interest and it does work out for us, if, you know, what would be the temperature of the select board?
Brian?
I don't have any problem looking at that.
Sue?
I don't have a problem looking at it. I will say that I tend to be more conservative on jumping things up a level than some people might be. So I would probably want to look at it pretty closely. And I guess I feel better when I know that things are working well the way they are before you expand them. So I wouldn't object to considering it, but I can't promise you which direction I'd go in.
Fair enough.
Cool. Remind me on that property. How many acres is it total?
Yeah, it's a total of 54 acres. And to Chris's point, just to put in perspective, not that it's our intent at all, but if you were to literally double what we're proposing now, you would jump from 9 to 18 acres of canopy being the difference. So we're still, you know, less than 18, half of the acreage.
We're at 18 of 54, so a third of innings, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would be willing myself to talk about it.
Okay, cool. Just kind of wanted to know where the interest level was and we can just see where it goes.
Another point, just wanted to make sure everybody knew, if you didn't know already, if you go and you park right in front of 11 Bell Oar and you have Verizon, you will have cell phone signal, just so everybody's aware.
A little safe.
That made us kind of happy.
So interesting. Yeah.
We had nothing to do with that. It just came with the property.
Yeah.
It was there. Yeah.
So
what are your next steps now?
Yeah. So the next steps, I can forward an email that Helen and I have. I think it bullet points pretty well. Our next step is really the town outreach meeting. And then also the CCC meeting, which Helma, I believe you have the specific dates, but they're more or less back-to-back meetings. The CCC was required, and then the town one is the select board, and Heath is your meeting. That's really the next step to hear.
So were you able to, are you going to have the community outreach meeting November 22nd? Did you get the ad in the paper?
No, I believe it's the 28th. I can forward you the email from
Joel. Okay.
I thought you were talking. I apologize, but I can forward it.
It's, but yeah, the 29th.
We got it in last Friday, yes.
29th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Okay, what else from us do you need right now?
That's it. The only other thing I did want to mention, and this is just feedback from our council, because I was really pushing for the meeting on the community outreach for as soon as physically possible. I did, he said, Ryan, the community outreach, at least on the CCC side, it is a requirement by the CCC before we move forward, right? But it is not a requirement for the city to vote on the HCAs themselves. So I just wanted to make sure, because for us, and I was very explicit about this in our last meeting, now that we had to shift properties, time is very much of the essence for us. We intend to close on this property, you know, within November, hopefully, but obviously the final check mark for us is confirmed HCA. So not wanting to push anybody or anything like that, but for us, that's a priority. That the sooner we can get HGAs approved, the sooner we can close, and the sooner we can start, you know, construction.
So if we have a timeline from their council. Do you guys know a timeline from your council on when you expect to receive comments? Or I don't know if him and Mark are going back and forth. I think
Mark might be able to speak to that.
Yeah, I was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was in touch with Mark Rich today. We exchanged a couple of emails. He informed me early this afternoon that he had some of the confirmations he needed from the town on some of the outstanding issues resolved, and they were going to start reviewing the legal side, at least, of the HGA immediately. He didn't say he would be done tomorrow or later this evening. He did confirm that they were going to start looking at that right away. So I'll follow up with him tomorrow.
So we do have a meeting scheduled for next Tuesday. We will have it on the agenda. If we know that he's going to get it done sooner and could call a meeting if we need to, we can do that as well. We do need 48 hours, so we're kind of at the mercy of our Mark. So as soon as we hear back from him, we can, you know, we'll get that going. We're not going to hold anything up. We'll get that going as soon as we can.
Wonderful. Yeah. I think as a placeholder, next Tuesday is fine. I mean, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's ample time.
So you're hoping to get, if I'm hearing you right, you're hoping to get it done by, approved by next Tuesday?
Yeah. So if we can have our document for every, we like to get our documents out to the select board members to review prior to the meeting, just so we know what we're coming into. But we could take a vote next Tuesday night. We can put that on our agenda.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you guys. Appreciate it. And yeah, so you'll keep communication. You'll keep communicating with Helma, and she'll keep us in the loop.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it.
Helma will tell you I've improved my email skills just for Helma.
Good.
Learned how to read that before.
Good.
Robin, can I ask a question?
You guys are great to work with. Really appreciate it.
Robin, can I ask a quick question?
Maybe.
Brian.
When are you guys coming to town next? If you give us a little advance notice, we'll have more food for you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah.
What was your question?
Brian,
what's your question?
Yeah, I just was wondering if you would give Helma permission to give your email to me so I can send you a video and a couple of questions about your industry. It looks like your proposal is being well received, and congratulations, and I hope it goes through. But I just had some questions about the marijuana. Yeah, just about that industry, one or two questions. And
email, phone number, social security, the whole bit. We want to communicate and we want to, you know, get involved. So yes,
please. Awesome. Yeah. Don't worry about the social security number, because it'll probably be written on a paper plate that'll disappear very soon.
All right. Yeah, Helma.
Okay, one last question for tonight. So I understand this correctly. The town, in essence, will end up with four written HCAs, with each one having named like a different company or a different farmer. Is that correct?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Correct. Yep.
But it's the exact same business terms.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Different company name, different company address, the exact same business terms.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Helma, this is Mark speaking. The idea is, once we've got the first one completed, you know, all I's dotted and T's crossed, we'll super copy that three times for the other three entities, and they'll all be identical except for the names.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Brian?
Nope, I'm good.
Sue?
Done.
All right, Helma?
I'm all set for tonight.
All right. That's it from us. Anything else from you guys?
No, we're good.
We're good. We just really appreciate everybody's time and just how friendly everybody is. Means a lot.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you all. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, team. All right, so anything else? Wait a minute, let me find my schedule. Select board members, anything else for open meeting? Brian, anything else?
Nothing I can think of.
Sue?
Nothing.
Chief John, do you need anything from us while we're here, open meeting?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay.
John or Chief?
I was available. I was very interested in the first part of this meeting, and then obviously this one here, in case any questions came up.
Great. Helma, anything else?
Nope, I'm all set. Thank you.
John, you have a quick thing so we can, I don't want to be up all night.
I wrote up the bullet points. I made some bullet points of that counter proposal, and I sent it to Helma's email and yours, Robin.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. All right, folks. If there's nothing else, I am going to get us into our first executive for the night. And so the first executive session is pursuant to General Law 30A, Section 21A6. Yeah. And this is to consider the lease of real property. And I am declaring that an open meeting may have detrimental effect on the negotiating position of our public body. And this is for the deliberation and strategy for entering into a long-term lease space of 18 Jacobs Road Municipal Building with Hilltown Theater. I'm looking for that motion. And we will, once complete, reopen our public meeting.
Don't move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, roll call vote, please.
Sue Lively, aye.
Brian DeVries, aye.
Robin Provost, aye.